Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church. We're so happy that you could all join us this day, and I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And hello also to those of you joining us online. Before we get started with service this morning, we're going to take a few moments to stand up and greet our friends and neighbors around us, pass the peace, and then we'll come back together, sing Sweet Holy Spirit, and then we will continue on with worship. Right, number of announcements today. We are doing great on the Missions Angel Tree, which is out in the narthex. I think there's only about 14 angels left, gifts to get. So if you haven't picked up one yet, or if you want to pick up more than one this year, which would be great, go ahead and do that after the service. We'll be bringing those gifts back on the 9th, 10th, 10th, on December 10th. Pick up your copy of the Village Voice today. If you did not get it via email, there are hard copies in the back, filled with wonderful articles and materials, as always, from our very talented congregation. Our new Instagram handle is at Village Baptist of Bowie. Our numbers are growing, but we could always do better. So if you have not given us a follow yet on Instagram, please go ahead and do that. You can keep up with the latest news and announcements there as well. If you want to help decorate the church for Christmas, that will be happening this coming Saturday, December 2nd, from 1 to 4. Any help is always very appreciated and very thankful. The Bowie Pantry donations will be happening on December 3rd or anytime in very small font, if you guys can see that. So preferably December 3rd, but anytime that you want to bring in donations for the Bowie Food Pantry would be wonderful. Also, our Hunger Bank offering, our total to date is $1,666. That is awesome. So thank you so much to our very generous Village family. You guys always show up when it counts, and that is great. We have a special business meeting next Sunday after worship. And also, again, we are updating our directory. So if you have new contact information, address, phone, email, and you want to make sure that it's up to date, please go ahead and check that out and send any updates to Nanette that need to be made. This is the day the Lord has made.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. We are delighted to be with you today. Linda and our daughter Amy is here from Springfield, Illinois, and we're just so happy to be back with you this morning. We're here today because Pastor Joel and his wife Terry are spending Thanksgiving with their family. And this was an agreement Joel and I made some months ago that I would cover for him this Sunday as well as on Thanksgiving Day. So it's a real delight for us to be with you and to even see some folks we don't know. And we're happy to have you with us. We're going to have a time of prayer in just a moment. And we want to offer you an opportunity to share any prayer concerns you have before we pray together. I want to remind us about a couple of concerns. One, of course, is the ongoing crisis in the Middle East. We give thanks that there's now a pause in the fighting and the exchange of hostages and detainees. But it's an ongoing crisis, and we want to pray for peace and justice in the Middle East, as well as in Ukraine and other places of conflict in the world. And I also want to remind you about the families that lost children this past week. Two children going to school in Riverdale were struck and killed. And we want to remember those families in that time of loss. Let's pray together. Our Father, on this Sunday after Thanksgiving, our hearts are still filled with gratitude as we reflect upon our many blessings, as we remember how much you love us and how much you've given us. May our thanksgiving continue beyond this holiday season to give you thanks every day for what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. And on this Sunday before the beginning of Advent, our hearts are filled with hope as we look ahead toward the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, remembering that his coming into the world was the ultimate sign of your great love for us. Because of that love, our Father, we pray for these people we've talked about today. We remember those who've lost loved ones. We ask you to comfort them in their loss. Remember those who are in the hospital right now, or those who are recovering from falls or accidents or illnesses. May you be with them and strengthen them. We remember those who are dealing with ongoing crises in life. May they know that they are not alone, that you are there. We live in such a troubled world, our Father. We think about the loss, the death, the bloodshed, the war, the wars. We think about people that are struggling to learn to live together in justice and peace. And we pray that you would guide us to find ways to be peacemakers. You've called us to be your people. You've called us to represent you in the world today. Help us, our Father, not just to receive your gifts, receive your blessings, receive your love, but to share your gifts and your blessings and your love with those around us. We are called to be your people. May we be that even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are very, very happy and privileged to present today, Oh My Soul. This is a song, Words and Musics, by Casting Crowns. How you worry, oh how you're weary from fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one knows, no one will see. If you stop believing,
oh my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make a way. Let Him show you how you can lay this down, 'cause you're not alone. Here and now, you can be honest. I won't try to promise that someday it all works out, 'cause this is the valley, and even now He is breathing on your dry bones. And there will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make. Show you how you can lay this down.
I'm not strong enough, I can't take anymore.
You can lay it down, you can lay it down.
My shipwreck faith will never get me to shore.
You can lay it down, you can lay it down. Can He keep me from going? Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make a way. Let Him show you how you can lay this down.
You're not alone.
Oh, my soul, you're not alone.
Hello again. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Oh, Karen, can you go back? Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
It happened at my former church in Silver Spring. It was a Wednesday night, and we were having a Wednesday night church supper. A man I did not recognize wandered into the church kitchen. He obviously had been drinking, but he knew enough to know he was hungry. I asked one of the ladies in the kitchen to prepare a plate of food for him to go. I did not invite him in to join us for the Wednesday night supper. I knew he would not be welcome. Not only had he been drinking, he was filthy. You could smell him across the room. Some people might have become ill just being around him. So I gave him a paper plate filled with food, escorted him to the church door, took him outside, came back in, and locked the door behind him. But he would not stay out. A few minutes later, he came back into the church through another door. I made him leave again. Then later, he was seen walking down the hallway in another part of the church building. I did a room-by-room search until I found him sleeping on a row of folding chairs in a darkened classroom. As a last resort, our church treasurer called the police, and they came to take the man away. I tell you this story because it remains a burden upon my mind. I do not like throwing people out of the church. I don't like being a bouncer. Do you catch the irony in that? The minister is supposed to welcome people into the church, not throw them out. Kicking somebody out of the church seems antithetical to what the church is all about. And yet, practically speaking, it had to be done. The man was an offense to everybody around him. He was drunk. He smelled like a garbage dump. He'd not come to the church for any spiritual purpose. He had come to get some food and to find a place to sleep for the night. I did give him some food. But the church is not a hotel or a homeless center. That was beyond the help that we were prepared to give. And yet, throughout that whole episode, and to this very moment, a part of me did not like what I did. Maybe it was because I remembered what Jesus said in this parable that we read a few moments ago from the 25th chapter of Matthew. Maybe it was because I related the words of Jesus to that drunken bum who staggered into the church that Wednesday night. What you did to one of the least of these, you did to me. The parable about the last judgment could hardly be clearer. According to Jesus, it matters how we treat other people. It matters for eternity how we treat people in need, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the unclothed, the sick, the prisoner. These people Jesus called his brethren, part of his family. Jesus identified so closely with these people that he said, what we do to them, we do to him. When we feed the hungry, it is Jesus himself who's fed. When we give aid to the poor, it is Jesus himself who's helped. When we visit the sick or those in prison, it is Jesus who is comforted. When we do anything for people in need, we do it for him. It can hardly be any clearer. God will judge us according to the way that we treat other people. God will separate the sheep from the goats according to what we have done or what we have not done to relieve the suffering of those in need. When we minister to the needy, we minister to Christ. When we ignore the needy, we ignore Christ. It's as simple and as complicated as that. Now, quite frankly, most of us are uncomfortable with the kind of people that Jesus talked about. For the most part, we are isolated from the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the destitute. Our former church in Silver Spring was on Georgia Avenue, just outside the Beltway, so we had a lot of transients come by the church asking for help. I dealt with them every week. People coming by seeking a handout. But in this community, we are somewhat insulated from the needs of the desperately poor. We don't see the homeless walking in our neighborhoods very often. Occasionally, even here in Bowie, I'll be stopped at a stoplight and somebody with a sign will come up and approach me in the car seeking a handout. There was an article in the newspaper this past week with the headline, "Demand Surges at Food Banks Across the Region." And yet we don't encounter people crying for food that often. About as close as most of us come to that kind of need is seeing the news on television. But even though we live in relative comfort, let us not deceive ourselves. Compared with most of the world, we are incredibly blessed. We live in a world where millions of people go to bed hungry every night. According to the UN World Food Program, about 345 million people are in need of food aid. Now, most of those people live in Asia or Africa or Latin America. We tend not to notice because they're not close, but there are children that die from starvation every day. Now, I'm not naive enough to say that this church or any church can solve the hunger problems of the world. It's one thing to give a plate of food to one hungry man, but it's quite another to feed the starving millions. Obviously, world hunger is the product of many complex social and political and economic systems. And realizing that, we could just throw up our hands and say, what can we do? We can't eliminate poverty. We can't eradicate hunger. Why should we even try? Take another look at the parable. Jesus does not ask us to do the impossible. Jesus asks us to do what we can do, to feed those whom we can feed, to clothe those whom we can clothe, to welcome those whom we can welcome, to visit those whom we can visit. There are things that we can do right now to help people in need. First, we can open our eyes to the needs around us. Then we can open our hearts with genuine compassion. And then we can open our wallets and our bank accounts and our credit cards to share with people in need. Some of you remember back in 2000 when our church building was destroyed by fire. It was a devastating experience to lose the building, but the church was not destroyed. For 34 months, we were displaced, meeting in another building while the destroyed building was being demolished and reimagined and then rebuilt. And during that time of displacement, we lost about a third of the congregation, primarily due to people moving away or attending other churches. So there were fewer of us to occupy the rebuilt building when we did come back. And still, it was an exhilarating experience to be back in our church home. Much was familiar. For example, this sanctuary is very similar to the one that was destroyed, except the ceilings are higher and the windows are taller, letting in more light. And the foyer right out there is the same size, except again, the ceiling's higher, windows taller, a lot more blank wall space out there in the foyer than there was before. Well, when we got back into the building, we began to decorate the place. Banners were hung in the sanctuary, the posters were put in the classrooms, but all those blank walls out there in the foyer were a challenge. What do we do to decorate them? The higher ceiling made a lot more wall space out there. I began to ponder about what to hang on those empty walls to convey what our church was about. We could have hung pieces of religious art, but even classics are a matter of taste. We could have hung posters and banners, but slogans become dated over time. One day when I was at a Christian bookstore, I saw two large scripture plaques engraved on wood. And I calculated they'd be enough to fill up one wall of the foyer outside my office. One plaque was engraved with the Lord's Prayer, the other, the love chapter, part of 1 Corinthians 13. Well, I used memorial funds, purchased those two plaques, brought them back to the church, and enlisted a volunteer to hang them on the wall out there in the foyer, and they were well received. I decided, well, we've got more blank walls to fill. I contacted the company in Ohio that had manufactured those two engraved scripture plaques to see if they had more that were available for purchase. A representative from the company told me that those are the only two that they had manufactured of that size and style. I asked, well, could you make more using that size and style? He said, I guess we could. I asked, well, could I select the scripture passages that would be engraved on those new plaques that you'd make? He said, sure. Well, that got me to thinking, what verses of scripture would I want displayed on the walls of our church? I immediately thought about the words of Jesus and was drawn to Jesus' words in the Gospel of Matthew, the Great Commission, the greatest commandments, and this parable about the least of these. I submitted the passages to P. Graham Dunn Gallery in Dalton, Ohio, and they got to work on the order. After the three new scripture plaques arrived, I enlisted a volunteer to hang them over the doors to the sanctuary and over the window leading from the foyer into the sanctuary. When you leave today, I invite you to step out in the foyer, look up above the doors to the sanctuary and the window, and to see those engraved plaques that are hanging. Why did I select those passages of Scripture? Well, to me, they seem to be among the most important verses in the Bible. Of course, there's more to our faith than giving money to the poor. The church has a mission beyond feeding the hungry. Yet, unless we are ready to back up our talk about God's love with concrete action, we might as well keep silent. Unless we do something to alleviate the suffering of those around us, then it doesn't matter how pious we act on Sunday morning. Is the church in the business of helping people or serving God? Well, the answer, of course, is both. We serve God when we help people. Look at the example of our Lord. Jesus used his time preaching the good news and feeding the hungry, forgiving sin and healing the sick, serving God and helping people. It was not an either-or ministry, it was a both-and. As far as Jesus was concerned, it did not matter whether people's needs were physical or spiritual or both, he was ready to help. And that is our mission too. The Bible assures us that Jesus is with us still. Jesus is with us in the least of these, the hungry, the ill, the alienated, the downtrodden, the lowly. His may be the face of a malnourished child or a shabby homeless man. Once in a while, he may even appear at our church house doors. We may not recognize him when he comes, but he will recognize us. God help us. God help us that we do not turn him away. Our Father, we've heard the parable so many times about the sheep and the goats, about what we do to the least of these. Now help us to recognize that this is a calling for us to join in your mission, to follow the example of our Lord, to be there for each other, and to be there for the least of these, for what we do to them, we do to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide upon us all, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.